It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back. And I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Just the coach's decision that your captain ain't in there for overtime. In a game that's going to decide who sits where in the wild card seedings. Oh, Rich Keefe is crazy now suddenly? Oh, my gosh. KJWEEI, good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. I've just been lambasting about the Celtics last night. Bruins, oh, what a way to lay an egg across the border. They lose to Ottawa 6-5 in the shootout. And this is really just the diabolical mess that the Bruins have been, right? So first period, they're already down 2-0. And then when Pasta gets it back to 2-2, you're like, okay, maybe the ship is righting again after the first period. Then you're like, okay, right as the third period starts, here we go. We're up 3-2. End of the period, up 4-3. If it started the third period, middle of it, you're up 5-3. You're like, okay. 12 seconds left in the damn game. Tied 5-5. 12 seconds left. 12 seconds? Then you get to overtime and no Brad Marchand? Let me get back to the Rich Keefe thing because this thing is now a week and 2 days old, right? Maybe 3 days. So this is the whole thing with Rich Keefe and his comments about 10 days ago. I had pointed out, David, producer David Azer, thank you so much for being here, is, okay, I'm not going to get into whether Rich was wrong or right. That's not the point. I just say, can I find evidence that would say, is it as crazy as one sounds? So piece of evidence number one I had said at the time was go back through the team's Instagram, right? Because I don't know if you remember this. Suddenly, we're just getting these barrage of pictures of Pasta and Marshy together.
Oh, yeah, right after.
Right after. They
reported it. Yeah.
Three photos in 2 days. Like, wow, this is... Okay, so let me do like what a very jilted ex-boyfriend or girlfriend does. Start going back through the Instagram. Going back. I'm thinking, man, I am not seeing too many pictures of Marchand and Pasta together. Game shots, off ice shots, coming into the garden shots. I go back to November 8th. I found one. It was for a charity event. Like, we know how it works. For charity, everybody's each other's friends because, hey, we've got to sell the bit. It was from, like, the Bruins are just A1 when it comes to their care for children in hospitals and children causes. I will never underestimate or undersell what they do greatly. And that's what it was for. They were at a Target buying toys for kids for Christmas. But were we really buying the three photos in 2 days after Rich Keefe had put this story out there? And even some of the things that have chased that story since then? So may I enter into exhibit number two? Why doesn't Brad Marchand play at all in overtime yesterday? Why? Why? There ain't no point in talking about what happened in the shootout. When a shootout happens, things don't happen like Charlie Coyle or David Pastrnak or Pavel Zacha getting it into the net. And now you find yourself tied for the last wild card, but by statistically out of the wild card race because you have more overtime losses than Ottawa does. Six. The Bruins have six overtime losses. Buffalo's the worst, one of the worst teams in the world right now, and they have five in overtime. All that money to lose in overtime? David, can you play the cut from Cam Neely from this past Wednesday when he discusses the two paths? It's a great article from Scott McLaughlin at WEEI.com, but here's Cam Neely on the two paths you can go by.
What is the appetite for a retool or a step back?
Well, right now, I don't really have that appetite, but like I told our GM and the staff, we have our meetings coming up here in a little bit that, you know, we do have to prepare for two paths. I mean, obviously the one path is that we're buyers, you know, we feel good about our team, but the other path is, you know, maybe somewhat of a retool, but we're not focusing on that right now. We're focusing on trying to get our team to be in a better place.
Yeah, I am a huge Led Zeppelin fan. I have probably 70 of their shows live. The Houston one from 77, boy, that's when Jimmy Page was really on that smack-ems, if you will. But in the song Stairway to Heaven, their most popular one, Robert Plant says, yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, and there's still time to change the road you're on. So I'm going to quote from Scott McLaughlin's article at WEEI.com. Check it out if you're that deep into this Bruins drama. When Charlie Jacobs is asked about, like, hey, what do you think about this two paths thing? So when it comes to the path of buying, Charlie Jacobs is like, I have faith they'll make the right decisions. I don't have the playbook for that, but I have faith they will make those decisions, though. You know, I was thinking about it, too. Like, Sweens is GM for the Four Nations Cup, right? So he obviously is out there watching. He's also the GM for the Olympics 2026 team for Canada. So I feel like he's got a pretty good pulse on what's out there in the market in terms of player personnel that might be available to us. And every time I call him, and we speak quite a bit, he's always looking and always shopping, so I have faith. I counted faith said three times in terms of being buyers on that path. But remember, Neely said, like, the other path is a retool, and this is Jacob's comments on a retool. Quote, I mean, I don't know what that looks like. Right now, we're in a playoff position. It's difficult for me to say if we fall out, what if? You start playing that game, it gets in the muck, and it might get misinterpreted. I feel like we should have faith in the group that's here, that's there. One faith in the retool. Three faiths in the path of buying. And look, Four Nations Cup, Olympic team, you should probably know who's out there available to us. Give us. Retool? If we fall out, what if? Guess what's just happened? The team is falling out. Marchand does not play in overtime? Look, you could, like, just I said with the Bruins, with the Celtics, I said, you know, are you really ho-bumming about a game in January? You might say, you do know that the overtime loss yesterday just put Ottawa in the seat that the last seat on the bus. Blue Jackets in that one wild card, then you, then now Ottawa. Just on points difference because Ottawa won the shootout. Bruins take another overtime loss. But Rich Keefe is crazy. Look, we're all supposed to be a team here, but I think the one thing you know about the old black man that works at the station here, he could call how he sees it. So if Rich was so crazy for his comments 10 days ago, why 10 days later is Brad Marchand on a coach's decision not playing in overtime? But here's where I see coming down, and this is a brilliant play by Sweens and Neely. See, because if they don't make it and Neely's looking at the retool and Jacobs doesn't want to hear about a retool, you have the excuse built in. It's the interim guy, Joe Sacco Frisholam, who made the decision not to put Brad Marchand in overtime. And so here's the built-in excuse. Hey, the guys weren't connecting with Montgomery. We wanted to see what Joe could do. Clearly, Joe could not handle high-level talent. We need to go get another coach. Oh, no, Kenya, they're not. Because then Sweeney will go. Do you think, what do you think matters more to someone? And just ask yourself, your pride or your paycheck? Do you say, you know what, because I have to go get another coach, maybe I should go? I've never heard that. But if you put the interim guy in there, then you could probably start to build the excuse of like, hey, we need to go find a coach that can handle big-time talent and that buys more time for the path that Neely's talking about, the retool, and the one that Jacobs doesn't want to hear about. I mean, it's impressive. I also say anybody who wants to get in this industry, minor in psychology, because a lot of this stuff is mental of what goes on with these decision makings and how you can see these different things potentially play out. It may make you seem like you're crazy, but you see kind of how the human emotion plays into protectionism, causation. The interim guy made a coaching decision to not put the guy in there in overtime. All right, next, we talk about Robin Glazer's, the report on her resignation with the Patriots and Vrabel Wolf. I mean, look, my goodness, maybe they're going to have to start hiring more people to go cover the Patriots for the same people they took away from Jerod Mayo, because Jerod Mayo set up such a great story that you've got so much story going down at Foxborough right now. 617-779-7937, KJWEEI, time to trend with David Azar.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Bruins lost in a shootout against the Ottawa Senators yesterday afternoon. The final score was 6-5. The team gave up two goals late in the third period for the Senators to force overtime. Jeremy Swayman had 39 saves in the loss, and like KJ was just saying, Brad Marchand did not play in overtime. The Celtics also ended up in the loss column last night after falling to the Hawks 119-115 in overtime. A late mistake from Drew Holiday in the fourth quarter led the Hawks forcing overtime. Jaylen Brown suffered a head injury but was able to finish out the game. The Patriots have requested an interview with Chargers passing game coordinator Marcus Brady and have completed an interview with Bears interim head coach Thomas Brown for their vacant offensive coordinator position. NFL insider Ian Rappaport named Josh McDaniels as the favorite to land the job. The Kansas City Chiefs are headed to their seventh straight AFC Championship game after defeating the Houston Texans 23-14. The Washington Commanders are also moving on to the NFC Championship game after shocking the world, beating the Detroit Lions 45-31. This is Washington's first NFC Championship appearance since 1992. Stay tuned later in the day for Westwood One's coverage of the NFL Divisional Round right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 2:30 p.m. with the Los Angeles Rams and Philadelphia Eagles facing off to join the Commanders in the NFC Championship game next Sunday. I'm David Azar. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Are you comfortable with this arrangement?
I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here, and I think that through the conversations and the interview process and the conversations over the weekend with Elliot and with Robert and Jonathan and just trying to put a roster together in a program. That to me, that's the biggest thing. I want to try to put a program around our coaches, our support staff, our personnel department, our players most especially, that people want to be a part of, that they're proud of, that they invest time and energy in, and we can start to see results, you know, beginning here in the off season when we don't have the players, and then when we have the players in April, that these guys are like, okay, I feel like what we're doing is going to help me. We don't want to waste anybody's time, especially the players' time. So this is all very important to me, and it's all very calculated after having done it, you know, for 6 years in Tennessee.
WEEI, good Sunday to you. It's KJ, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for hanging out. I still have a little bit of my coffee left. It hasn't gotten cold yet, but neither has Elliot Wolf's body just yet. Let's just call it what it is. If you're familiar with the crypto industry a little bit, you probably know this term, pump and dump or rug pull. And you almost feel like the fan base would not mind a rug pull on Elliot Wolf in terms of the team moving forward. All right? Let's go back to the day that Gerard Mayo was fired. There's a part of me that believes that it was like, Wally, you can never prove, and I won't make a libelous statement saying that organization told the team to lose. I'm not saying that. I'll say it this way. Gerard Mayo went out to win that game, even though it might not have been best for the future of the team, and therefore it might have seen it as an insubordination. That's why your ass gets fired before the sun goes down. Trust me, I've been insubordinate in a couple of jobs, and there was no tomorrow they waited to make their decision. But I also thought that, my goodness, for all that is expected to be on the plate of the Patriots for getting rid of Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, at least in color television age, okay? You're going to tell me that that's what was put on the plate as performative dinner by Elliot Wolf? Like, this is what... I don't know if you remember last year, around this time, or a little bit later than this time. Oh, man, KJ Osborne's name was in every trending for the day on WEEI. And last I counted, there's a live trending on WEEI every hour from 6 a.m. till about, is there one at 10 p.m. at night? I don't know. Do you know, David? Do you break through? I don't know.
I think so.
So there's a trending that had KJ Osborne's name go from 6 a.m. till about midnight. That's what, 18 hours? Did KJ Osborne even have 18 catches? Did he even play 18 minutes for this team? That was Elliot. KJ Osborne's name was said more times the day that he was signed as the free agent pickup of Elliot Wolf, which was kind of supposed to be the star pickup. Then he had catches, minutes, plays on the field. Elliot Wolf completely shut. Look, the offensive line situation. I mean, nothing was done. So if you're presenting me a plate saying this is what the first year after Belichick is going to look like, and what are you going to go get? I didn't give you $1 million to bring me back a burger and fries. No. And so now, with $120 million at hand for Elliot Wolf, you get the new guy. Now, I've been jokingly calling the people who've been calling for Vrabel the Americans, not in a necessarily patriotic way, but more in a rebellious way, that pretty much told King George, Robert Kraft, what they were going to do. You're going to go hire Vrabel. That's who you're going to get. Even people who are now saying, well, after last night, you see why you don't go, you don't get Ben Johnson? It's like, okay, come on, really? Really? I will say that about here in New England. You will hold a grudge. We'll see. You could have had Terry McLaurin and you got N'Keal Harry. All I say is just go on YouTube and look at N'Keal Harry highlights from his last year in Arizona State. It wasn't a dumb pick. It's just that you're in your feelings. It's just like, you know, who you're married to. You do know she probably kissed another person before she married you. You just don't want to think about that. But it's true. And it was a guy she thought was quality. But now with Vrabel here, the Americans have gotten what they want. And now what do they want next? They want the rug pulled from Elliot Wolf. And that's why you just heard Vrabel in his comments mention, hey, we'll work together. Now, I'm not saying Vrabel's there to pull the rug. However, I will bring my guy Cowden in just in case. It's a nice Persian rug that can be moved from room to room. Because this is how it probably plays out. Look, here's the plot line that Robert Kraft wants. And he mentioned it in the press conference when talking about getting the next coach. And that's how we found out that Elliot Wolf will be staying before the new coach came in. You're like, oh, wow. If Wolf passes or fails in free agency before the draft, will determine whether he gets to stay on the rug. I mean, like the rug doesn't get pulled from Wolf. But you've heard the stories, and I've even been one to tell you that, look, players, free agents are not kicking down the door to come live up here. Like asking if you know people who have never been to New England or to Boston for the most part, the first thing they'll probably tell you, like, man, it's cold up there. I'm like, that's the other part of climate change, if you believe in that. It's, you know, it doesn't get as cold up there, and it gets a little colder further south, right? It's just all you're really just doing is pushing the cold air pushes further down now. That's really the only difference. So it's pretty much always been cold here. It's just now colder in places that you don't even realize that you're like, hey, it used to not be this cold here. So that's just perceptional. Then the next thing is like, well, what is there to do in your free time? Well, you know, they've kind of built this place up to not just be kind of a place where people just kind of hang out and do their thing. If you take like the top 10 cities in America, like only two of those cities are open past 2 a.m. Right? Los Angeles is not even a 3 a.m. city. I think the only ones would be New York and Atlanta in your top 10 cities in America that are open after 2 a.m. New York and Atlanta. And even Atlanta is shutting that stuff down. I know, I used to live there. So players are like, well, what is there to do? It's cold there. And here's where Elliott Wolf can be successful in free agency. Is if you can go find the players that provide more to the base of the team, more so than the superstars of the team. So your superstars of the team are pretty much going to have to be guys that you get through the draft. But the solid players, the ones you play money, like if you're, let's just say you're making a trade for Rashawn Slater, the left tackle for the Chargers, because Joe Alt's been playing right tackle and he's their first round pick and you didn't draft him to be your right tackle to take him at like 7. Yeah, Rashawn Slater's not going to kick and buck if you give him a bunch of money to come play left tackle. Like, you're already in the trenches. You're not thinking about how cold or is it or not. But when you start talking about like high level players like T. Higgins, who the Americans will be screaming for third, and once you get to go get T. Higgins, pitchfork. Kidding. T. Higgins might say it's going to cost you $32 million a year for a guy who he'll give you 12 games a season. He might be out for 5 games in the season. And I would ask you, would you want this Patriots team to spend top-level receiver money on a guy going into his high season has just shown you that he does have some injuries that do pop up? And if he's the number one target, because he would be the number one target, you don't think that he's going to be taking more hits? You could try and do more things with him? I think probably if you're trying to get to that next level, it might be something that you do in a trade. Maybe like a DK Metcalf with Seattle, where you're like, okay, let's just take control of that last year that he has on his contract, see what happens after 1 year. If after 1 year he works and we can negotiate, we can discuss that. If he doesn't work, then all we really did was give up a draft pick for him and we've get a reset on the cap, or at least in that player. Deebo Samuel, I think a lot of value has been lost because of said injuries. Like, I think Deebo Samuel probably will refuse any interview if anybody talks about, we want to line you up back there as a running back, but like, hell no, click. And then I just don't think you take your first pick in the draft going to get a receiver when the receiver, and there's so many receivers available that you could find in the later rounds that are maybe just as good quality than trying to take it with a first pick. Like, even if you look at Marvin Harrison Jr., you could say, okay, he had an okay season. But if Marvin Harrison Jr. was on this team, would okay be okay? Like, no. Like, it would have been worse because it wouldn't have been Drake May. It would have been the receiver and Jacoby Brissett. Like, So, Elliott Wolf really has to pass this final exam in free agency so the rug doesn't get pulled, because the Americans may get their wish that if he whiffs, especially early in free agency, you don't think the screams are going to get even louder for this guy to be gone? Yeah, I mean, y'all are kind of following my lead, because around week 11 or 12 in the season, I said, hey, all this noise about Mayo, how come nobody's pointing their finger at Elliott Wolf for putting this cold burger and stale fries out on the field? For those who were there, like of the free agents that he went and picked up, like Jacoby Brissett was kind of around. How often did you see Okorafor? Leverett? KJ Osborne? That's all Elliott Wolff. So if you're Vrabel and Cowden, you just kind of sit back and watch things play out. Like your boy, you put in $500,000 and walked out with $1 million in less than 24 hours on the crypto market. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. The rug pull. Yeah, learn the draft grading system as it's going on during this free agent period. You know, see what passes or fails, and then be ready to run the draft if Wolf fails in early free agency and he's gone. That would be the rug pull on Wolf. But the best scenario for the team, and then after this, I'll get into like the roster. Not the roster, but in terms of the record. Let's say Wolf hits on free agency early. Let's say he's able to secure a top level left tackle in a trade. Let's say he's able to possibly get a top wide receiver either through straight up free agent money or through a trade. Then look, he might even give a slight deferment to Vrabel in the draft because he's going to be the one that coaches those guys up. The Americans know that Vrabel, they demand that Vrabel get a 5-year test to really turn this around. That's what they really want. They want to see Vrabel give him 5 years. Give me liberty or give me 5 years. And then you have the shared role that Robert Kraft wants. And then I think the roster immediately is set up to win 9 or 10 games. You have the quarterback. See, it would be a different conversation if we're saying, hey, go get all these free agents and hopefully you hit on the quarterback in the draft. That's why anybody who's having a conversation about Jaden Daniels versus Drake May, I mean, gosh, come on. These are the ones that you see doing backup dancing in Jardian commercials. There's nothing wrong against Jardians. And if they have an account here, I'm sorry. You probably hear less of KJ. But look, if Elliott Wolff hits you on free agency, and then you believe in what Vrabel can do as the coach, because remember, the Americans demanded that the coaching be better, then the shared role happens. And next thing you know, in my belief, you have a 9-10 win team ready for this season, considering what the schedule looks like. Oh, KJ, you're crazy. But that's because you can't be one of those Americans that say, well, you know, I don't know if I really want to fight the British if they're coming. I don't know if I want to do that. No, either you're ready to stand pat and fight for your team, the Patriots, or you're just going to say, no, I've lowered my expectations. Because if you lower your expectations, are you really a fan or are you just a fan of chaos? 617-779-7937. I'll get into the schedule next. And then I'll tell you why I believe this team is a 9-10 win team. That's coming up in about 15 minutes here on WEEI.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Uphill state of mind. KJ here on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. Getting to the Patriots schedule here at the top of the hour and how I see that they can win 9 or 10 games if the rug is not pulled from Elliott Wolff and he does okay in free agency. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve, thanks for call, and good Sunday to you.
I'm a little surprised at you being so delusional and farcical with this prediction.
I'm surprised that you actually got up on a Sunday morning to call this show. Maybe they didn't get the schedule to you, but you don't have to call.
I'm on my 20-something thousandth call, and my probably 50th to 100th to you.
How many subscribers? I'm kidding. You know I like the basketball.
20-something thousand calls. I've been calling since the 90s. The afternoon show, the final iteration, I don't know if you heard it before you came on Friday. They actually were talking about the 95 draft in depth. I know it doesn't make good talk radio. And they were talking about the 96 draft. They can't win 9 games because of what happened in 04. Excuse me, 24, 23, 22, and 21. They did no building then. You can't build in one offseason. You can't build in one offseason.
So wait, and so Steve, so let me ask you this. If one can't build in one offseason, then why can't someone not build in coach in one season? Right? Because if Mayo was a complete disaster, and I'm not saying that he wasn't, why could not putting together a disastrous roster not be a fireable offense? Because if people want Wolf gone, then guess what they want? They want him gone after one year of doing this.
He should be gone and grow and everybody else that had their hand in the last several drafts. You've had Andy Hart say, oh, they had a scoring system. I mean, it's all BS. It's all BS. If I was the czar of the Patriots, I'd want to know. I want to see the work product of these people. I want to know why they didn't draft other guys I see in the playoffs, why they didn't do a bunch of things. And if I see that they had all these guys high, and from the bus that we had, I throw them out the door. But that still doesn't make that's all baloney.
Steve, let me ask you this. Do you realize that these teams that you said, like who played last night, Washington and Detroit, had decades of failures to just get to this point? We are talking about a franchise in the Steve, because we're dealing with facts and you're kind of bad with numbers. Detroit and Washington. I will hang up in a second if you keep talking over me. I'm telling you that Detroit and Washington factually have had decades of ineptness from leadership to player personnel to coaching issues, while the Patriots were the beacon of success. You get to this point if you're Detroit and Washington because you've had all these years of failing and so forth. We're what, in year 3 years or 4 years of failing here after 25 years? So one of the two things happened. Either you continue to get failing or you can turn it around sooner than these other teams did. Washington and Detroit did not turn it around in 5 years. The Patriots could turn it around in 5 years. Am I wrong?
Here's why you're wrong. You're talking about the years of ineptitude, decades of ineptitude. But to get from the decades of ineptitude to where they both got to last night wasn't done overnight, wasn't done in an offseason, wasn't changing the coaches. Look at Washington last night.
They have winning cultures before that? You're talking about the Patriots have had a winning culture for 20 years. That is unheard of in the NFL. The closest, and Steve, go ahead and hang up.
Because
okay, there you go. Yeah, at some point, just apply for the job. Look, the 49ers are probably the only ones that you can kind of compare that you had some type of consistency in there, but still not as dominant as the Patriots were from virtually 2001 through 2019. Now, that ties to one person, and that plays, I think, the largest part of it because we're seeing the effects and the results of that. But my goodness, during that whole time, were we discussing, look, watch out for Washington, they're a growing team, watch out for Detroit. These were bad teams. These were poorly run franchises. You forget this same Lions team, some of the guys on this team had Matt Patricia as their head coach. These are teams that, if you keep making mistakes over years upon years upon years, a decade, either you're going to repeat those mistakes or you're going to learn from them. And when you learn from them, things grow from the ground. That's what you saw last night. Now, with this team, with the Patriots, okay, you've already failed on one quarterback and you feel like you found a new quarterback in less than 2 years. Right? This would be, if Mac Jones was still here, this would be the season you're discussing. Do you give him the fifth-year extension next year? That's not even on the table. Not only are you not having that conversation, look at the Giants. That's what the Giants went through. The Patriots aren't even going through that headache. And usually that's the start of a lot of bad teams' headaches, is missing out on the quarterback and being hamstrung by that quarterback or giving them more money and they become worse as time goes on. It's not as bad as it feels bad, but it doesn't mean that this is going to be 10 years of pain. My goodness, suck it up, Buttercup. Pull up by the bootstraps. Is that what you say? All right, text line, 617-779-7937. What do you have, David?
Yeah, just one here. It says, sorry, any wide receiver who signs for $4 million was never going to produce like an elite wide receiver. Typical Belichick and Kraft cheapness.
Yeah, well, that's the other part of it now. Now, if we're having the question of, is this team going to struggle because they don't spend, there's a history of that. I mean, my goodness, the savior, right? The one who was born in a sixth round manger, and little did they know that little Tom Brady from Michigan would be the light of the world, only got 50 of his $250 million from the Patriots through salary. So when Tom had grown up and become of a carpenter age, you like that, on a Sunday, Tom just asked for $25 million a year with no strings attached, just give me the money up front. And they balked. Think about, let's put this in perspective. How long has Brady been out of the league? 3 years now? So his last number was $25 million a year? You know what, Sam? Sam Darnold is standing to probably get about $30 million a year next year. This is where the embarrassment really comes in with the franchise. Is that, hey, I'm not saying that Brady would still be Brady now at this point because A, Brady is out of the league, but B, two more years of Brady of what he was able to do is 10 times better than what you've seen since he's been gone. And that was only going to cost you $25 million a year. But if you're not willing to spend the money, that will catch up with you. Now, some people are like, well, you got to do it through the draft and everything. Well, you know, look what's happened with the draft here over the last couple of years. Where are the guys from 2022? And it is, and we're just getting into 25. Where are the guys from 22? They gone. Well, Cole Strange is still here, but they gone. They're gone. That tells you that just because you can say, look, you can draft, they don't draft well. What if the players don't respond well to the NFL? It's amazing. At some points in society, we're like, well, you know, the individual has to make it a determination that they want it themselves. Nobody gives you anything in the society. But then on the other side, oh, they draft bad. I would just say for those of you like who like to hang on the N'Keal Harry testes, if you will, just go to YouTube. Watch his highlights from Arizona State his last year before he stepped into the NFL. Don't even think about what he's done once he's gotten into the league because it's been nothing anywhere. But look at those highlights and tell me, yeah, I'm going to pass up on that guy. Let's go to Jason in New Hampshire. Thanks so much for calling WEEI. Good Sunday to you, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to sort of respond to your last conversation. You know, I think the Patriots, correct me if I'm wrong, they should have won seven, maybe even eight games this year. I mean, our coaching was not where it needed to be, just point blank. And while the roster is weak as it's been in a long time, I think there's a lot of potential for a quick turnaround just based on a better coaching staff and maybe a couple of free agents. But if you plug in three or four other wins from last year, yeah, your comment 9-10 isn't so far off the mark.
Thanks so much for the call. So I will get into how I think the Patriots get to 9-10 wins here in about 7 minutes. 617-779-7937. Let's look at the playoff tree that still remains in the NFL. Hit it, David.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
Can't wait. Can we let them off the hook? Can't wait.
Playoffs?
Son, I got to do better than this.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
So, before I get into today's games, I got to comment specifically on one particular game yesterday from a bettor's perspective. So, when I did playoff tree and lined up stuff probably early Friday, the line for Houston and Kansas City at the time was 8. But it jumped to 9.5 by the time you got to game time on Saturday. And I was like, and what do you know? To end the game, the Chiefs run the ball out of the end zone, give up the safety, and the 9.5 does not hit. It hits at 9, and boy, it laid out so many people. But I did say take the under, and I was right. That 41.5. Look, it was just going to be a dogfight game. I thought it would be a bit closer with Houston, so a lot of my parlay missed. And then last night with Washington, I think the two biggest things that jumped out from my parlay, even though the whole thing didn't hit, I think the part that didn't hit was, there's only one piece actually, David, that didn't hit from that. And that was the Tim Patrick anytime touchdown. But everything else I had absolutely spot on. I had, let's see here, it was four legs, 40-1. I had Commanders first half money line. That was right. I didn't have Jaden Daniels touchdown, anytime touchdown, or the Tim Patrick touchdown, but I did have Commanders plus 4.5. So if you took Commanders on the plus money, or if you took first half money line, I think you probably did very well. Okay, so today's games, I think these are going to be fascinating. Well, not so much the first one, but the second one will absolutely. Rams at Philly, 3 o'clock today. This is just kind of weird because like my wife was like, can you drop me off at a parade later? I'm like, what? Game's going to be on at 1, but it doesn't come on until 3, so you could do kind of like the husband stuff. The line is Philly, minus 6.5, the over-under 43.5. So I will give you a play here that's inside of Make Money Money that comes later. I'll give you that play now if you want to jump on. And that's Matthew Stafford, over 300 yards. He's not gone 2 games in a row in the playoffs where he hasn't thrown over 300. And those games where he's thrown over 300 yards, those have been competitive games in the 20s. So I expect his arm to play a part today just because I think the run game is going to be right. It might get bit stuffed by that front line of Philly. All right, Baltimore at Buffalo. Baltimore is a 1-point favorite, 6:30 on CBS. Of course, you can hear both of these games in full real time here on WEEI this afternoon after Dan Ball. Over-under is 51.5. Maybe kind of a high number. Let's see how the winds play. Justin Tucker, the kicker for Baltimore, has shown some struggles today, so don't be surprised if there might be a missed field goal or two in Buffalo. You know, even though they probably already know who is going to be the MVP of the league, I think whoever wins this game will be a reaffirmation of why they are the MVP, even though the MVP is already supposed to be decided because it doesn't have to do anything with the off, you know, with the playoffs. But I think Baltimore wins this one because I think setting up for Baltimore at Kansas City is probably a better feeling than seeing Buffalo go to Kansas City if you're a Patriots fan. Now seeing that there's still a chance that Kansas City can win 3 in a row and start chipping into this Patriots dynasty. And that is Playoff Tree. Enjoy the games. We continue here on WEEI next. 617-779-7937. How the Patriots win 9-10 games this coming season. That's next. Thanks so much for hanging out.